What's going on, everybody? This is the Microsoft Recap, and this is episode 6. And today is, I don't know, what is today, Saturday? This is your host, Mike B, and your other host, Mike B. I ain't going to let you figure out who is who. But today is the Microsoft Recap, and we got a couple of topics to talk about with y'all, for y'all today. First topic that we want to do, we want to just jump right into this. First topic that we have is dealing with the new Pentagon IT certification that Microsoft apparently has achieved that narrows down the cloud security gap between Microsoft and Amazon. Apparently, both of those two are the leading government agencies dealing with government contracts right now. The next topic that we're going to go over is Microsoft revealing its new Windows logo and design. Basically, they have a lot of new icons, we call them like fave icons and whatnot for their apps and whatnot. I guess they're going to the vector route with these images. And the last topic that we got to talk about is a tech cold war, how Microsoft policy leaders predict the future and preparing for a wild decade ahead. That's a dense, pretty dense topic that we're going to talk about. But let's go to the first one.
I feel like that's been going on. But yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely been for real. This first topic, like I said, the Pentagon, they have this IT certification, essentially, if you want to even be a part of dealing or working with the Pentagon and doing like technical contracts, like technology based contracts, you have to essentially achieve this IT certification that was created by the Pentagon. And recently, Microsoft has been they've been granted the award to do this contract, what they call the JEDI contract, with the Pentagon. And apparently, a part of achieving that contract is going through the certification, and essentially achieving the certification gives them like the highest level of capability when it comes to dealing with any type of data or management of data for the Pentagon. And what this article sort of leans into is kind of how Amazon is hating, basically. Like, yeah, Amazon much. Is really, really upset that they did not win that JEDI contract. Like they really steamed about that one.
What I like about this though, man, is that it just goes to show, and it, like you said, in one of the articles we'll get into last, as far as like that tech cold war they're talking about, it just goes to show that where Amazon is that as far as all the other tech companies, you know, well, that's the thing. They weren't considered a tech company at first, you know, and they're kind of just jumping in there trying to, you know, get their hands and whatever. But it just goes to show that Microsoft does have tenure, and I think that's probably on the, you know, behind the scenes. I think when all of the politics and it's done, that's pretty much I think what the deciding factor was, is that they just have a longer tenure as being a true traditional IT technology company. Yeah. And it just, you know, in an article when it talks about how they call it the battle of the West Coast tech companies and like which one is best suited to safeguard the United States. In my humble but honest opinion, I think that because Microsoft has been able to find that balance between consumer driven and having a sector or a side of them that caters towards like more government contracting,
enterprise
like applications, stuff like that. It makes sense. It's just funny to see how this is playing out because it seems like Amazon is still trying to find its way to justify being on the same playing field as Microsoft when it comes to stuff like this.
Amazon has a lot of conflict of interest that Microsoft just doesn't. Like Amazon, at the end of the day, I mean, all the AWS stuff that they have, Amazon Web Services, like all of the cloud capabilities that they have, even with all of that, nonetheless, on the other side of the business, the thing that they have been number one known for is being a retail company. And like, I mean, they have one of the largest websites, but nonetheless, at the end of the day, they're selling stuff and then they're promoting ads to sell more stuff. So like, it's a definite conflict of interest of we collect data so that we can sell things, but also we store the most private data that is ever known to America, like all of America's secrets. We also all keep in that one. Stuff. Yeah, all in one location. Just come to Amazon. We got it all. Yeah, I mean, like that it kind of just don't work. Whereas a company like Microsoft is just like, we just focus on technology, man. Like selling books and shit, selling clothes. You want your t-shirt, bro? Go to Amazon. But we just selling tech. Like all we got is technology. And I mean, it makes sense for them to even go the Microsoft route. They were talking about there was like a complaint of how Amazon was the only company to achieve this IT certification originally. And part of the IT certification helps is it says that like they're able to store like a level of clearance type. It's like the top level security clearance of data, like the top data that needs to be hidden. Amazon was the only company that had reached that level of clearance to be able to store that type of data. But now Microsoft is able to do that too.
Yeah.
And I mean, that just went toward them, but they also are suing the government because they're trying to say, how can y'all say they're better than us? Like, how can y'all say that they're better than us when, like, there was an issue with Microsoft's cloud? There was this security vulnerability with what they call hypervisors. Hypervisors are basically the thing that manages all those individual machines that are essentially managing the cloud, the overall cloud. Right. The hypervisors like oversees all of the machines that manage the virtual machines. They were saying that Microsoft was susceptible to this vulnerability and Amazon wasn't. And since Amazon wasn't susceptible to this, Amazon should have the contract. Like, we're better than them. Like, that doesn't mean anything. Like, just because y'all better. Y'all happen to found this one vulnerability and y'all didn't have it. This company did. This company has since fixed the patch. They fixed the issue. But like, that doesn't mean that just because y'all didn't have that and we did and this company did, that y'all just automatically deserve this contract. At the end of the day, it's all negotiation tactics. I mean, it's not just because you happen to have an A, you know. It's like them high schoolers that be like, I got a 4.0. How did this person with a 3.7 get in?
Like Amazon sounds like the side girl. That's what they sound. It's like, you know, that
government. Like, I'm better than her. My hair real. Exactly. My nails and fucking makeup.
She didn't got she didn't got fat. She had the kids and all that. Like, why you not? But then, that's the point. It's like,
she got you running around them fake ass tins.
Yeah.
Like, come on, y'all.
That's what it is. But it's like you forgetting like. But Amazon is not forgetting is that home is where Microsoft is at. Like I said, Microsoft is a coined tech company from the start. It's like they may have been selling consumer products at a point, like, you know, that's part of their business model.
Yeah.
But they didn't start off selling books. They started off selling technology.
Right. You know from the very beginning. And they've been doing that since they've been working with the government since the 80s.
Since then. That's what it is. So it's like, this is where home is. You know what I mean? Like, it don't even matter. Like, you was cool and it was fun while it was there. But, you know, this is, you know, I'm going with home.
This is my girl, yo. This wifey, yo.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, she got my kids. Like, what you mean?
Fun.
I hit you up when I need to hit you up. You know,
yeah, man, you know
what getting out of pocket. You know what happens when you get out of pocket? You
don't
get
cut off.
Babe, I don't even know who that is for real. She tripping.
they definitely hating on that one. I mean, it's one of the things like when you just got a lot of money and you in a dominant position and just spend on trying to get more and more money because, you know, Amazon's position really is to just be as profitable as possible. Like, that's the number one. Like every, you know, every company ultimately has that motive, but like next to Apple, Amazon is focused on just more and more money. Anything that they can do, even if it means suing the government for not winning a contract, they'll do it. It ain't even like the government, it's not, it ain't even like they have like a legitimate issue with the government. They just like, yo, I wanted that.
What do they even sue? Like, what is it called? I don't even know what it's called when you like sue someone for being unfair. I don't get it.
Yeah, and it's like, and what is unfair? Like, is that not fair that I wanted to go with this company because I trusted them more, or I just felt different about how they deal with business? Like, we still got, there's still Amazon contracts. They still have contracts with them. It's just not this contract. I mean, and it's kind of a mute point. Like, it's no real reason for them to be fighting this fight except to put it, to just have it in the record books to say that they fought and potentially won this fight and to get the money from them. But really, I mean, it's no real benefit for it. It's no real, they could easily go to any other country if they want to and to be like, all right, fuck it, we'll just do South America.
Right. We'll fuck with the EU.
We'll fuck with the EU. You know? They literally could do that, but they don't. You know, they just want to fight this fight.
Right, ain't nobody worried about the EU, man.
Yeah,
you suing everybody, so like, we ain't doing
nothing. Ain't nobody worried about Amazon either, man. They got enough money, man. I mean, Bezos is the richest one until his wife get that other half.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Now he's the second richest one. So yeah.
I can't feel nothing for your tears, for real. let's go to this next article. Microsoft reveals new Windows logo design and 100 modern app icons. The subtitle says, Fluent Design continues to modernize Microsoft's OS and apps. Basically, this article is just like more of a fluff article. It's really talking about the new icon designs, the new logo designs, essentially the designs taking over like the perception of Microsoft, showing off like their style, because their style sort of says a message about who they are as a company. And essentially this logo, this icon set is a collection of all of the software that Apple, that I keep wanting to change their company name, all the software that app that Microsoft has. They're creating new logos for, new designs for. And I think part of it is that they're actually giving out these logos to the community of like designers and developers so that they can use them in their apps and whatnot. But it really is mostly like a fluff piece. I mean, if you look at some of the logos, it does get stale after a while. There's a site, I don't know if it's actually on here, but there's a site that you can actually go back and see all of the logos that have, that they've created from the beginning when they started, see how they progress throughout time.
They even show them in like the pixelate, the weak pick. Like, what is it?
Yeah. Like 16 version, 16-bit colored version. Once they start getting millions of colors, and now they got these, like, now everything is going to the flat colors. It's this whole vector image, like, everything is going to that. Like Google did it a while ago. Apple, I don't know if they necessarily do that with their logos, but it's really just a design style change that just gives a sense of modernization to it.
It's something where I see where it's going. That at the end of the day, there's an idea that you want to maintain some consistency and your brand, but then you need to change with the times. And that's something that I think it's not like Apple, where they're introducing something that doesn't really change by what their messaging is. But because Microsoft, I think for a long period of time, has had the balance between, you know, the consumer side and then you said like the enterprise, like government application side, there is more of a demand for them to, as far as where their revenue is generated, to keep up with the times. You see what I'm saying? And make sure they do this. Where Apple is kind of, you know, compared to Apple, where they've always been pretty much customer centered, you know, a change in logo for them. Yeah. You know, it's almost like, you know, they still, but Microsoft, a new look is something that, I don't know. It'll be a breath of fresh air for the new generations to come. I mean, I think anybody, whenever I think of Microsoft, I always have that same 16-bit image in my mind. That's where I started. You know what I mean? So, you know, maybe, you know, them going this route where they're trying to, it is something that makes something to you know, see where it goes or how it affects, you know, the demographics that they reach with a change in their in the surface appearance of things, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it gives them uniformity, so that, because, you know, those software companies tend to have a lot of different applications, and, you know, each application is like technically a different company, and it sort of gets like what they call disparate, where it's like they don't seem like they're part of the same organization after a while. So I guess having this change over where it seems like at least one design team just went ahead and worked with every company, every software that they have, every piece of software that they have, all the different companies, and decided to make some type of uniformed design change for all of their logos, so that they all still feel like one company, where you can just look at it and within a second you can say that's a Microsoft company. That's essentially what they're trying to probably go for, especially with all the rebranding and remarketing that they have to do. Like, Microsoft has changed themselves at least 10 times already.
Yeah, always. Yeah. Remember we did that article talking about the they did that that musical. Like, they just doing whatever.
Exactly. They're trying to be friendly as much as possible. Like, it's a new era. We know. Yeah. We with it.
Like, try to throw a Disney feel on it, man. That's right.
Exactly. Give it a little bit of nice, friendly, PG, happy friendliness about it. But it is what it is. Looks like my screen went out, but y'all can still hear me. I think that must be with my audio, but I'll let that come back. Let's go to the next article. Next article that we have is the Tech Cold War. Microsoft policy leaders predict the future and preparing for a wild decade ahead. This article mostly is talking about they have a new changeover that's happening with their new president, Brad Smith. He's sort of come into the game. He's been there for like maybe a year or two. Not Satya Nadella. Satya Nadella is like the CEO of Microsoft, but the president is Brad Smith. He's been there for a while. He's trying to come up with a couple of changes toward the company, you know, like we just talked about with the logo and whatnot, but just in giving a new vision on what their thing is going to be going into the next era, to the next decade. What are their key focuses, and ideally, what are the key focuses for the industry of tech in general? And the idea of there being a, like you said, a tech cold war. Based on the article, he has 10 things that he considers like the dominant issues that will more likely be a major thing for society for the next 10 years and going forward. The 10 things are sustainability, defending democracy, journalism, privacy in an AI era.
That's interesting right there. Yeah.
data and national sovereignty, digital safety, internet inequality, a tech cold war, which is in itself its own thing. Ethics. For artificial intelligence and jobs and income inequality in an AI economy. All of these things are basically different issues that are essentially going to just be affecting us all in general. Sustainability, dealing with how we're going to be able to maintain this consuming society that we're in, dealing from everything from the energy that we use to like the products that we use. Like when they talk about plastic recycling and like technology,
the green save the world type of stuff, you know what I mean?
Initiatives and recycling and all that. Like, I mean, when I've seen those articles recently talking about like how like China, for one, you know, that was one of our big dumping grounds. We used to send a lot of junk to China, and now we don't send it to China anymore. Right. And now it's our junk now. We got to do it.
It's like in Futurama. Remember in Futurama where they had that thing like Matt in the future, they would just like take all the junk in the world, take it in like a ball and like launch it in space.
It's just launching in space, like, yeah.
They had that thing coming back like it was going to like all the junk they sent out there, it was going to come back and kill the Earth.
Turn into its own thing, yeah.
That starts with Microsoft, man. This is what they're doing, man.
Defending democracy. I mean, we already know about that issue with the things like the 2016 election and, you know, Russia's play on dealing with social media and trying to manipulate the society, the mind share of people. Journalism, which is, I think, is an important issue because of the fact that free speech is one of those things that sort of allow democracy to happen and allow for the word to actually get out there when media tries to be manipulative, particularly like when companies are buying out things like Fox and ABC and NBC, and they're all part of these organizations.
Buying out news syndicate.
They basically buying out the news so that they can tell the story that they want to tell. So having these like free journalism, open sources, like these companies that are not manipulated by the people that are advertising to them, that are giving them money, that's an important key. And especially in this era, what they call the bubble, you know, that it's like the media bubble, the social media bubble, where we all get to choose what we want to listen
to. We get to choose our own lifestyle based on, you know, the news we indulge.
Yeah, it gets harder to actually find out the truth. So that's a major concern. It's probably going to be even more major with like deepfakes and stuff like that.
With all the stuff that I see here, though, bro, it looks like it's all centered around three things, which is sustainability, the first thing that they said on there, which I think covers a wide variety of things. But then the other two was just data protection and then AI.
Yeah.
You know, you can almost group those together. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it seems like AI, this concern of where AI is going, it's like, imagine what it would be like if each one of these tech giant companies had their own AI but tried to develop it and cater it to the company's interests. You know what I mean? Like that type of war going on, tech war going on, is something that who knows what's to come of that, right? But I think when you hear stuff like this, when it's like pretty much these companies, you know, they pulling out their guns and then, you know, covertly shooting at each other, it's like who gets caught in the crossfire, right? The consumer that's just trying to live a regular life, you know what I mean? And you get, and I think that that's something that's of concern when you have, again, we're just talking about the as far as people having power, when they have absolute power, what they do, how it starts to be corrosive in nature as far as what they do with the people. But I don't know, man. It's all this stuff. I think it's going to come back to what I see what's happening. Right. And I think they put it perfectly as far as saying it's a cold war, is that it's just going to be, and I feel like it's been like that for some time, but probably going to be more prominent as new things come up with like AI and, you know, people jumping into like the automobile industry and stuff like that. You're just going to see more money being gained from these companies. And that's pretty much what it's about. Like, it's because really that's what, you know, that's what war is about. That's what the war machine is about, man. It's making money.
Yeah. I mean, the Cold War part about it is like everybody setting up for attack, but then nobody actually attacking. I mean, like everybody's setting up for all these key pieces. Like everybody's setting up for being able to collect your data, and then everybody's setting up to potentially have your data taken away, but nobody's actually acting on either one yet. Like they're already setting these policies in place to deal with data privacy, but it's already like in play, and like nobody's really stopping it. Nobody's really saying, "Oh shit, no, y'all just can't do that."
Right?
They're all like, "Well, what are the implications of doing that?" I mean, it's like, no, y'all need to just shut this shit down and be like, yo, if y'all collecting our data, y'all need to stop that now.
Stop it. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, y'all, you can't do that. That's
you collecting more than my age and my name and my date.
Yeah. Y'all getting like a 500 list survey just from me clicking on one thing. It's like 500 things I just filled out. I just press enter. I mean, like, that's got to stop. I mean, like, but they don't necessarily deal with that. And the internet inequality piece is a major one because right now, you know, it's still only about 2 billion people on the internet. There's still like another 5 to 7 that need to be able to get online, or if they choose to get online, because a lot of people are just choosing not to be online. But for the people that are choosing to be online, how are they trying to get online? Like, Facebook had that one company where they were going to do, like, I want to say drones that were going to offer satellite to Africa. And it was like these solar powered, essentially like paper thin planes. They were kind of like really big paper planes, and they were powered by solar, and they were just going to float around, gliding around and giving like rudimentary internet to people. But at the expense of that, it would only been a few services that you could use. So like Facebook was definitely one of them. Like, you can use Facebook, but you might not be able to use Google. Like, that wasn't, they never really put those stipulations in place. And then with that, like, if you're giving out free internet to people, then again comes the issue of collecting people's data, because it's out there for free. So you definitely getting something out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot. They definitely are just, they're predicting a lot of things that are going to come into play for the next 10 to 20 years. And like, a lot of it, the issue was, it's just a lot of it has been happening already. But,
right, that's my thing, what I've always felt like.
Nobody regulated it.
It's nobody regulated it. And I think that, what's happening here is, I forgot where I heard it, but it says that like how the government is always like, as far as technology goes, is always at least 40 to 50 years ahead of where the consumer is, right? So, and I don't know how true that is, and I can't remember where I heard it from, but you think about, you know, this is coming from, this is something that's been, as far as tech Cold War thing and the things that Brasnov outlined with AI and stuff like that. I feel like Microsoft has already kind of had his hand in something that the people hasn't even hit the people yet. And that's probably why they're talking about it. Like, you know, what's to come like within the next 10 years is because they've already been in bed with the government as far as doing all of this shit, you know what I mean? With AI and with like data collection. And then, like I said, we, in the previous episode, what we did with our Google News update, as far as determining people's psychographics from their studying their demographics and stuff like that. Like, and they treat like data collection on that deep of a level, like, because it's already been happening and it's starting to, in some way, seep out into the public. It's like, now they're deeming it as like, it's something to look out for, but like, that shit been going on.
It's because it's becoming more than just America. Like how we were talking about with China, because coming dominant earlier, it was all cool when it was just, you know, California and Silicon Valley getting that money. But now companies in particular, I take the idea of like TikTok. The company is based in China, and they are becoming like the number two social network for real. They definitely are popular, and they're eating a lot of Instagram's lunch. And the issue with that is that it's China. It's a Chinese company, and we all know that Chinese companies are even more beholden to their governments than United States companies. Like, at least American companies right now can say no every once in a while, whereas Chinese companies, they just straight up be like in their as part of their policy to say yes, to give up their information to the government. And
they gotta say yes.
Yeah, they gotta say yes, or somebody else gonna run that company in a week. Yeah. Like, we're gonna get you out of there. We're gonna black bag you. that's what they do for it. Like, oh.
I had a visual of Borat.
My office. When he was running around with the black joint on his head, he had no clothes on.
Yeah. And then another part, what was it? When he had the wetting sack.
Yeah.
He's trying to catch that. I don't know why.
He's talking about when he was trying to get Pamela Anderson.
Yeah. That's completely y'all fucking topic, man. My bad, bro. Yeah. I don't know why I had that visual.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what it be like. Like they told essentially any government personnel currently, like if you're in the government or if you're in the military, that y'all can't even use TikTok anymore and can't even use them on your cell phones, because especially like if you're in the military and you're in you're at like a base or something, you can't use it because you potentially giving off positions and or anything else. Yeah, I mean, you're basically giving yourself a tracker to the enemy. Yeah, I mean, to the frenemy of China. Yeah, I mean, so like this is a whole and it's a cold war, because you know ain't nobody really saying that they're tracking anybody's data. I mean, they're not saying that we're stealing it, but everybody know what's going on.
Yeah, you know what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, and we ain't even gonna talk about how Russia get. You know, we all know Russia is a hacker country.
Of course, yeah, they're not stealing it. They just borrowing it without you knowing.
That's China's borrowing it. I'll let you know that. Russia just like, yeah, we stole it. What you gonna do? Yeah, I mean, we got it.
You gonna shoot me?
Yeah, try. I mean, Russia don't be giving no fucks. But that's just what it is. And like, we as consumers are just at we just got to eat it. Main thing is to be informed about it, so you know when and when not to, so that you can, you know, bob and weave for real. Because we definitely gonna be the guinea pigs of all of this, all their outcomes for real. Unless you just decide to get off the internet in general and just, you know, unibomber it. Yeah, I mean, live in the woods, live in a shack. Yeah, I mean, you're gonna be part of the situation.
To be informed if you're part of it. I just think it's, to me, in a sense, it sounds, I don't know how to feel about people that like want to live off the internet grid, right? You said it's a people that it's a lot of people, a good amount of people who have actively decided not to be on the internet. But like in this day and age, like, I think that although it is cautious, I think at the same time, it can be dangerous to do that. Like being outside of the know, although like you said, we live in this thing where people can create their own world by indulging in the news. Well, honestly, these companies developing algorithms to paint the narrative and, you know, control people's lifestyle based off their interests, right? Like, you know, there's this thing where there's corners of the internet now. You know what I mean? You see this in all different types of ways. You got your flat earthers over here, and then, you know, going even to stuff like dating, where people have their own thoughts and stuff like that, and these people congregate in these, digital corners of the internet verse. But for people to not like participate in that at all, it's like that's kind of, in my opinion, it's weird. I can see why people would feel like that, but it's weird in the sense because you're completely out of the know of what's going on. And although I think with people like that, that would be a way to avoid this Cold War that's been going on, and then what they have declared coming into this new decade. I would say it would be better off for people to take their chance to see what's really out there, because you don't want to be blindsided by life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like I'm telling myself I'm gonna move to the Midwest, and I'm plotting on it. I'm working on it, but more than anything, like, when I tell myself I'm moving to the Midwest, I'm still moving to an area where I can get internet. Like, whether I'm out there in the plains and I'm raising cattle or some shit, I still want to be able to have internet access and good internet access, so I can at least know what's going on. Like, I just don't want to be like close to the East Coast, where if Russia decides to drop a bomb over here because he don't like what Trump doing, I'm stuck in Baltimore, which is like 40 miles away, and we get caught up. But like, I'd rather chill in the Midwest somewhere. Yeah, I mean, I can be secluded when I want to be and have access when I want to have access. It's one of those, it's just trying to find that balance. But yeah, to cut yourself off and to just act like you not going to participate, and you not participating is you like giving your voice and your opinion. It's like, nah, you got to actually still, you got to choose a side. You can't just ignore the sides. Yeah, I mean, you just can't be like, yeah, I'm done. And if you are, I mean, you can, but if you are, but you don't have like any say in this, because you're not invested in it.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, you're over there chilling by yourself, eating fish, cutting fish raw and shit. Yeah, I mean, you cooking fish on a fucking campfire and shit. You don't give a fuck. what's going on over here.
As far as I'd rather take my chances, bro, like with the, if I have an article saying that, you know, such and such is thinking about launching a nuclear, you know, attack, right?
Yeah.
I would rather take my chances of seeing if that's true or not than not knowing it's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
This is stupid. Yeah, this was weird, man. So yeah, you know, that's where, yeah, that's the move. You know, while this whole thing going on, move to an area where if they launch something, you're kind of like away from the fire zones.
Right. You know what exactly. I mean? Exactly. I mean, like, I want to know what's going on. I just don't want to see what's going on right there. Like, I'm going to be blinded because I'm seeing big ass light rays or fucking nuclear fallout and shit. I'm done. I'll be all right. I'm telling the Irans right now, like, it wasn't me, B.
Yeah.
Like, I had nothing to do with that drone attack.
But I was at work, man.
I mean, I'm just trying to clock out, B.
Right.
I mean, that's what it is, and like that's the type of issues that we gotta deal with. Like, yeah. we're all a part of it, whether we want to be or not, because the organizations that are higher up that run the whole shebang, they the ones that trickle down all the stuff to us. So it is what it is. But that's the end of the show, man. All y'all people on there, man, y'all need to do the damn thing. We need to have y'all go ahead and like, go ahead and subscribe, go ahead and hit them comments. We like to hear your opinions. Go ahead and share if you share. I mean, you know, a lot of people share, but, you know, a lot of people like to keep things to themselves. But main thing to do is subscribe. You know, we're on all the socials, you know, Facebook. We're not on Twitter yet. We will be on Twitter. I'm applying on Twitter. Yeah. But we're on Facebook and YouTube. Twitter's
gonna be interesting, man. I think
Twitter's an interesting realm.
Yeah, man.
Everybody try to count Twitter out, but it's always popping.
Yeah,
it's always popping.
Thanks to your president, man.
Yeah, it's, I mean, yeah. If anything, you get on there to just hate on yo. If whenever I just we want to send him an angry message, I send that shit, man. I don't care. I hope he read it. I know he read some of them, so hopefully he won't fly by and be like, "Yep, that was me, B." Wow. Fuck you, 22. 2020. But yeah, man, go ahead and look up for us on all your streaming services. We're on all of those, and we're gonna have more heat coming at y'all, man.
Yeah, that's it, man. Like you said, like, comment, subscribe or die. That's the new, so we got with 2020. Man, subscribe or die.
Saying,
man, we try to do our damnedest, man. Bring y'all this tech news, man, because for the common person, you know, they ain't really interested in going to you don't have any Google Trends, Google Alerts coming to your phone of what's going on. So we try to bring you the news and see if we can decipher what's real and what's not, what's relevant and what's not to you. And I think that's important. So like, comment, subscribe, follow us on all the socials, follow us on all of the podcast syndicates, man. And I'm gonna come your way.
Yeah. Take it easy, people.
All right, peace.
Peace.